Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He is doing great and wonderful things among those who love Him. Daniel said, "He that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits." Men and women that know God. See, the world can't always, they can't win against people that love God sincerely. They'll throw some trouble in their path, try to get them off track. And I talked about that yesterday, how I was endeavoring to follow God and do all that's in His heart, best of my ability. And then trouble came. All kind of temptations and frustrations, angers, all kind of things came. Because Satan don't want you to know Him. But God gave us something that we can push back with. He gave us the life of God through Jesus Christ. And that's something the world can't do anything about. I love it. You know, the Lord loves us and He's with us to guide us. We can't do nothing but win if we just cooperate with Him. And I've been talking about following God again. And when I say I thought about something, all the years that the Lord sent me to pastors teaching about following God, I wrote out some formats. What it's like to follow God, to embrace what He's doing, and do that and put it first before your own personal will or what you think is best. Now, I thought about this yesterday. The enemy wants us to not know God. He wants us to not walk after the Spirit, but after the flesh. And he's been working against us a very long time. And we get on the scene, and there are things around us that's just wrong, and we don't realize it. But the Lord will guide us into all truth by the Holy Spirit. Once we're born again, but we got to keep the perspectives right. Our salvation is not by our works. It's not by our efforts. See, the priest and that ministered in the temple in Ezekiel, it said they wore linen garments that produces no sweat. They couldn't wear wool. They had to wear linen so that they wouldn't sweat. Why? That's a representation that it's not by your works. It's by His Spirit. Salvation, we don't earn it, we receive it. Now, so when I tell a man of God, follow God, the first thing, if they want to do that, they want to do whatever they think is best. The way that they see Jesus, that's the way that they're going to go. To the Pentecostal mind in those days, holding this church, when you say follow God, that means the women don't wear pants, they don't wear jewelry, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to receive the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. You got to preach it with more force. That's to the Pentecostal mind in those days, the holiness churches. That's what they did, and they would do it with more intensity. The problem is doctrines, where did they come from? Why did they pick out certain scriptures and make a bylaw out of it? But following God is following what Jesus said. The standard is always Jesus. What did Jesus teach? And how did He teach it? And how did He present the Word of God to us? And then, see, the Holy Spirit will guide you the way God's going, the way God was always going. And He will alert you to things that's just not right. Now, this is what happened to me. And I would explain when I could that the strategy that the Lord showed me. Preach only what God give. What comes to you by the Holy Spirit, preach that. And leave the dogmas alone. You know, in those days, to the Baptist mind, you baptize in water. You don't do like those Methodists and sprinkle. That's God didn't tell you to sprinkle. You got to, if you want them saved, be baptized in water. And whatever doctrine that, now this, I'm not picking on the people. This is just the mindset. It's already there. They're right. In their mind, they're right. But when you search the scriptures are true and they're right. And where our bylaws get off track, that's where we've gotten off track. And it hinders us from knowing God's best. There are so many things out of place that should be in place by now. The Lord would have navigated us around. And over time, we've learned some of these things because the Lord did another way. He had people to rise up with more light in certain areas. And that helps us to say, hey, they don't harp on the way women dress and they don't harp on this and that, but they have miracles. And even in those camps, some things are off track. The Lord is working with us. He's working with all of us. And it's not, we don't need to be separate. We need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Set aside the faults that you see. When they are faults, just set them aside. What's the Holy Spirit up to? And the Holy Spirit is working with all these ministers in different ways. They have a bit of truth somewhere. Paul even said, we know in part. If we know, and people act like they know in part. They have faith accidents. The Holy Spirit will get a point over and they didn't know it was coming because they spoke by the Holy Spirit. I had a dream one night. The Lord, I was so used to, if I had a question for the Lord in my early walk with the Lord, I would listen close to it, and I would ask the Lord to cause my pastor to say what I needed, Elder Lewis. And the Lord gave me a dream one night, and I saw two Elder Lewises. I saw the Elder Lewis walking in the Spirit, and I saw the carnal Elder Lewis. And in my dream, I saw both of them. And the Lord said, only listen to them when I'm using them. The Lord taught me how to follow him. And I applied that other places. And I saw God's handiwork over here. And I saw doctrine over here. I saw pride over there. I saw fear sometimes because of pride. One pastor, I saw a spirit of fear on him. Another man of God, I saw a spirit of bondage on him. And I learned from these things. That's how I learned these things. The Lord was guiding me in the altar. I had to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and his work. Because deception is out there among the brethren. And then there are false prophets among the sheep. And it tares among the wheat. And then there are those doggone wolves. They're the most low-down tares ever. They can know about the things of God and still do wrong. Now, and the Lord has to deal with these problems. He doesn't turn a blind eye to it. He loves the people. The people are saved through the blood of Jesus. They're doing the best they know. Truth is something you have to embrace as you're introduced to it. And when you're convinced, it's hard to receive new truth unless you see the light. But see, the problem was there was nobody that was walking in the light enough to deal with the problem. And the people that they were looking to, that's where they got the deception from. They got the deception from the uplines. And they were the downlines. They're not going to go around. Wherever there's deception, that's a place that God has nothing to do with in the life of that person. That's why the Lord showed me two Elder Lewises. And I love Elder Lewis. God loves Elder Lewis. He didn't know these. He didn't, you know, the Lord was guiding me to more. I asked for it. I said, Lord, help me do your will. One day I was disgusted with my life. Nothing was going on. I didn't have a job I wanted. My plans were not being fulfilled. I was not in the center of God's will because the Lord, he was taking me there, but I couldn't see the fruit of it because I didn't have the job I wanted. I had a plan. My plan was not being fulfilled like I thought it should be fulfilled, but God had his hand on my life. And I was disgusted with my whole life except for the fact that I was in love with Jesus and he was with me. The rest of it was falling apart in my eyes. I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. And the Lord heard that prayer. And he guided me. I asked him to guide. I didn't know what I was asking for. I just wanted to be, I wanted to make money to be a blessing to my church. Now that was my plan. That was nothing in my mind, in my Pentecostal mind, there was nothing wrong with my church. This was before he taught me about following. I was just getting started good. I had just gotten saved. I thought I had the perfect church. And I wanted to make everybody in the world just like the people in my church. Until God showed me things that were off track. And he has responsibility to his people who happen to be off track. And they didn't see it. And they can't see it. And we can't see where we're off. Now I know that we can be off track thinking we're on track. But we can still be effective as long as we follow the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. Now, the tradition, the setup of tradition, if you know more than somebody else, then the devil will say, hey, don't listen to them. You know more than them. They don't see what you see. But guess what? They see something you don't see. Think about it this way. If a person's washed in the blood, it's impossible for them to be a total idiot. Now, they may have something wrong, but if you listen to them long enough, they can say something to save your life. I was blessed by Methodist pastors, Baptist pastors, because my dad would, you know, he would invite Baptist preachers. He wasn't the kind that's like, I'm so hung up on this doctrine that we're better than y'all. He didn't have that attitude. And he would invite them, and they'd preach. And then they would invite him, being a Methodist, and he'd preach over there. He didn't do people like that. I had good example growing up. I've been going to church all my life. And I know that there are disagreements. And I've seen Christians, when I first got saved, one guy said, God will give you the Holy Spirit if he wants you to have it. One guy said, it's for all of his children, whoever the Lord, our God, should call. He pointed out that scripture. And you can't be saved without speaking in tongues. They were wrong in some ways and right in some ways. The Holy Spirit is for every person, but we have to receive it. Now, the gift of tongues, everybody don't get the gift of tongues, but every believer can speak in tongues and pray in tongues at their will. That he was right about the fact that, well, if he was talking about the gift of tongues, yes. Some people have the gift of tongues, some people have the interpretation of tongues. And some people just prophesy. Those are given by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit will. Perfect truth for that, if that's what he was meaning. But the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to come upon your life. If you believed on Jesus Christ, first thing Jesus did with his disciples, once he appeared to them, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit within. Remember Jesus said, I give you water that you'll never thirst. It'll be like a well of water springing up in the everlasting life. And then he told John, talked about rivers of water. That's the Holy Spirit upon. My pastor cleared that up for me. I used to think that some of the Baptist preachers were secret Pentecostals, the way they preach, because they preach so perfect. They were preaching by the Holy Spirit. And then they tell people that tongues went out with the apostles. And sometimes it seemed like they even gave words of knowledge. Their ministry was so authentic. I said, they got to be secret tongue talkers. They had the Holy Spirit within. But they were taught against the Holy Spirit upon. See, that's what I'm talking about. The tradition has crossed the lines and got over into the church and messed things up for us. Now, we're in a situation where we're saved, yes, and we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. Of course we can. But we got to pay attention to the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that we can go where he's going to be more effective. But guess what? The Lord can't do it if you're hung up on salvation by works, if you got pride in your life, sin in your life, doubt in your life. If you have doubt in your life, that doubt will hinder you from going to the next glory. I don't like to say the next level because people act like that's optional. The next glory is something we must get to. Paul never talked about the next level. He talked about growing from glory. I know people mean it that way. But the way I do it, the next glory, that's something ahead. That's something that God wants to get us to. We need to go there. Because for the sake of the next generation, they don't need to be in survival mode with the problems that we grew up with. They need to be thriving in every area where we used to survive. They need to be thriving in those areas so they can see the next glory. I know Jesus is about to come. We may not even make a day before he comes. He may come before 24 hours is up and rapture us out. But we need to be headed for the next glory anyway. Now, the thing is, God loves us and he deserves our best. And we want to give him our best when we're sincere. And now, sincerity is something you got to take. We have the fruits of the Spirit. We don't have to muster up any energy to walk in. We just have to allow our light to shine. Don't cover it up. We need to walk according to the ways of God. As a way of life, there is no reason. There is no reason to mingle in the unfruitful works of darkness any place in our, it has no place in God's kingdom, so it should have no place in our lives. Lust, greed, all those things are abominations. Pride, deceit, there's no reason for it. If you need something, God will give it to you in due time. You don't have to cheat, steal. You don't have to, if you're being blessed, pay your way. Do what's right. Live the life that blesses others. There's a man named Timothy Alberino, and I highly recommend this teaching that he did. It's called it's on YouTube. It's called Gates of the Gods Underground Secrets. Gates of the Gods Underground Secrets. Timothy Alberino. He did a video, and it's a long one. And I'm listening to it in segments. I got a little over a third of the way, maybe. But he alerted me to something. The enemies of God, when Rome married the church, we guess our holidays have pagan origins. Christmas was the summer solstice. That's the longest day of winter. So you got all these herds of groups of people that were used to doing abominations on the winter solstice. Then you had Christians that recognized the birth of Christ. So they moved the birth of Christ over to December the 25th to blend, to have a more national holiday. Now Satan did this to introduce us to something even worse than that. Now Jesus was not born on December 25th. I don't know when he was born. And most would have said it was in the spring or even the fall. I don't know. That's not important. It's all right to honor Jesus' birthday one day of the year, since we don't know what day it is. That's not the problem I have. And I know people don't know this, so I'm not knocking your celebration on Christmas. But he bring in this character, Santa Claus, which represents salvation by works to children. If you do good, I give you toys. If you bad, I'm going to put ashes in your eyes. And then we got to teach them about Jesus. If you do good, you'll go to hell. If you do bad, if you do good, you'll go to heaven. If you do bad, that's not true. First of all, we were all headed to hell and to have ashes in our eyes. That's the road we're on, born into it. Jesus came to give us salvation. And none of us were good. We were all bad. We were all corrupted. And we all ran from him. Isaiah said we hid as if it was our faces from him, thinking he was in trouble with God, not us. Now that's the fact. Now Santa Claus said, if you're good, I give you toys and candy and stuff. If you're bad, I put ashes in your eyes. No. We were headed to hell, and we deserved it, and Jesus came to give us salvation that we can't work for. You see where I'm going with this? It's subtle things that make our lives so crappy. Salvation by works was introduced through a pagan holiday. Nothing to do with Jesus, the Santa Claus character. Now, we have salvation that's free that we can't work for, and we can't earn or deserve it. It was given to us. And Jesus is going to help us avoid hell, which is worse than ashes in your eyes. That's the good news. Then we go out and tell other people. It's not by works. If it was by works, I could say, hey, look at me, I'm good. And I can't say that, knowing that I'm the guy who ran in the first place. I'm the guy who struggled with things, and the Lord helped me out. He guided me out of the muck and the mire and got my feet on solid ground again. He got me out of the sand pits and the quicksand that I was into. That's the gospel. Now that we have it, pay attention. All we have to do to follow God is just pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Now, Timothy Alberino, he showed how wrong blended all these pagan holidays. Easter, the word Easter has nothing to do with Jesus. That was a pagan deity, a pagan female deity. They had the rabbits because of the fertility, you know. Nothing to do with Jesus. The word Easter has nothing to do with the Passover, and it has nothing to do with the resurrection. Again, they blended up this pagan holiday. Now, little Jim can tell you more about it because he studies those, the Greek culture and the Roman culture. He's a historian. But so is Timothy Alberino. He pointed out the fact that these things are attacks. We call the Passover Easter. It had nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing to do with the resurrection. Nothing to do with the Passover. Now, salvation by works. So people have, in the mind of the men of God that were taught by men of God, they were right. They were right in their way. You can, even the ones that knew better and did better and worked miracles, even in Word of Faith camps, there's another glory God wants us to get to. That were things he wanted fixed. And you can't go to a man and say, hey, that's wrong. You can't. I'm not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to do it. What the Lord showed me personally, I see a need. And I saw how if people would just, what if everybody just paid close attention to the most holy guidance of the Holy Spirit? And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes you got to teach people a format. I understand that. That's even given by the Holy Spirit. I'm not knocking. I'm not trying to fault find at all. Because I sit there and I listen and learn. But sometimes people get right into the rhythm of the Holy Spirit and they walk in it. And the Holy Spirit's guiding, pointing out things. Different people give words. And sometimes, you know, when I was after our church split, Refuge Temple had split, we were meeting at Steve's house. We would take turns preaching. But every Sunday when we would meet, or Wednesday when we meet, we would worship God. And the Holy Spirit was in charge. And we would be worshiping God, and then everybody would get quiet at the same time. Everybody would get quiet at the same time. And when this would happen, when everybody get quiet at the same time, then somebody might give a word. Somebody might give a tongue, and somebody else might interpret it. And somebody may just have a prophetic utterance. And then everybody would be quiet again. And whoever would preach. And we worship God again. And then everybody would get quiet at the same time. Nobody elbowing nobody. And then we knew it was the Holy Spirit. It was time to go. We could leave. When the Holy Spirit is in charge, beautiful things happen. I have never, it was off the charts. You know, that's how I kept doing it at home personally. Every morning I would get up, I'd start my day with worship. And I studied the word like he told me and worship. Then I go out and do my mind was on God. And he alerted me to things, that needs that I didn't know about. He prepared me to see what he was trying to get me to see. He gave me more light. Then I started noticing things that could be better. Guess what? There's more than I know about. The end game is bigger than I can imagine. And God's ability in our lives is much greater than what I can tell you about. But guess what? If everybody was following God, we would grow so much better, so much faster. We would become so much more refined. The enemy has done some more things. Now, Timothy Alberino pointed out this, that the science, the rogue Catholic Church, I'm going to put it that way, the tares of the Catholic Church, they were behind the push of Darwinism, socialism, communism, and then, now you got to listen to them yourself, and then take it before the Lord, but he pointed out they were behind the science. And I noticed a long time ago, it seemed like people were giving credibility to false science narratives. Instead of embracing the miracles, that's not scientific in the mind of the denominational churches. We don't want to be spooky. We want to be normal. That went out with the apostles, raising the dead, praying for the sick. Everything was up to God, what happens. But some people didn't buy that lie, and they prayed earnestly. Kenneth Hagin's mother was on the front porch stopping cars. There wasn't that many cars in those days. She was praying on that porch so loud that it stopped traffic, and there wasn't much traffic. Praying for her dear son to be healed and saved. And he went to hell 3 times. And he got saved the last time. He woke up finishing the Lord's the prayer of faith. Some people, Elder Lewis told me about a Baptist lady that her son was going to Vietnam. Her only son, I don't know if it was her only son, but she prayed him off the plane. She kept on praying, believing God, no, don't let my son go. And she prayed, and they turned around and brought his behind back. That's right. Everybody don't believe the lie that they've been sold. See, the human spirit is better. It's more, you know, Satan can lie all day, but everybody's not going to buy the lie. Traditionally, Baptist people would have given up on such a case, but she didn't. And Kenneth Hagin's mother, I think she was a Methodist, she didn't give up either. She didn't let God be sovereign on that one.